Welcome to the Liberty Cafe, where oppression is on the menu.
Hi, everyone. This is Bill Peacock, and you're listening to the Liberty Cafe. Glad to have you here with me today, as I am always glad to have you here, and also glad to have the folks at Texas Scorecard. They sponsor our podcast here, and more than that, they're sponsors for liberty. They're sponsors for fighting for your liberty and our liberty, all of our liberty here in Texas. So go visit the good folks at Texas Scorecard on their website, texasscorecard.com. Well, today we're right smack dab in the middle of a three-part series on looking at corruption in government. Last week we talked about what was titled From Augustine to Dade Phelan, Corruption in Government. And we looked at the history of corruption and the theological underpinnings of corruption all the way back to the great Christian theologian Augustine, who understood the concept of original sin, that we are born into the sin and fleshliness of our father Adam. His sin drug us all down into sin. So we're born into sin, and then we, as soon as we get a chance, we start sinning ourselves. And that just leads to, that is a corruption, and it leads to great corruption in whatever institutions we might put ourselves in. But that's particularly a problem when it comes to government, because governors have this big sword, right? They get this sword from God to protect the good from the evil. But too often, the corruption of our flesh turns us to a place where those in government start using that sword to terrorize the good and benefit the evil. And that has happened throughout all of history. It's no surprise. And so when I talk about that coming into the Texas government, the Texas legislature, it's not because there's anything especially wrong with the Texas legislature. It's just an institution with power that can fall to the corruption of men. But there's some good news, I think, with what's going on in the Texas legislature today. There are a lot of people, and I can't remember the count, but I think maybe 15 or so folks have announced that they are resigning from the Texas legislature going into the next set of elections. Some of them are just going to go back to the private sector. Some of them are going to step up or hope to step up and go take another office. Some members of the House, at least one or two, are going over to try and take a Senate seat. A couple of members, a member of the Senate is trying to take a statewide office, those types of things. I think a House member is trying to take a statewide office. So that kind of thing is going on right now. And when we look at a lot of the folks who are leaving, I think from an objective perspective, we're going to see that maybe it's a good thing that they're going. And maybe some of them shouldn't be going anywhere else but home. We're going to look at that. And what we're going to do to use to help us have an objective view of that is the Fiscal Responsibility Index that they come up with over at the partners to Texas Scorecard, Texans for Fiscal Responsibility. I guess they're partners. I'm not privy to the organizational structure, but they're related in some way. At some point in time, they have been anyway. And so we're going to use that. It goes all the way back to 2007. And my theory is, or my theory was when I started doing the work for this, is that because of this corrupt nature that human beings have and the potential for corruption in civil government, that the longer people hang around in civil government, the more likely it is they are to become corrupt. And please understand, when I say that these people are getting corrupt, it's not that, for the most part, they're doing anything illegal. It's just that they are becoming more and more accustomed to power and privilege that they have in there, and they don't want to lose that power and privilege. And the best way not to lose power and privilege these days is to get reelected. And unfortunately, most of the time today, the best way to get reelected is just to go along with the establishment and turn away from liberty, turn away from free markets, turn away from the constituents who elected you, at least to the point where you're being helped by the Austin lobby and the Austin bureaucrats and the people who benefit from big government. You do that, but you don't do it so much that the people out there can actually see that, or at least some people can see it, but it's hard to get past the power of incumbency because you get all this money from the lobby to beat down opposition. So I thought I'd use the scorecard to help us look and see how that does. And also, so we're going to look at some of those people who have left office or are leaving office soon. Also, before there was a fiscal responsibility index, which from TFR, which started back in 2007, there was the Economic Freedom Act index that I did back in 2005 when I worked at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Now, the TPPF wasn't as politically focused as the other groups are over at Texas Scorecard and that kind of thing. So we never published it at TPPF. But I put it together to score some of those folks. So I thought I'd take a look at some of those folks that are kind of still around and see what they've happened. So some of these people are still in office or for one reason or another. We'll look at some of those folks and see what's happened to them over time, comparing them to the best we can to the TFR fiscal responsibility index. And then we'll move on to some of the more recent folks who are leaving office now. So let me just start off with here. I have them in no particular order. I had on my scorecard when I did this back in 2005, there was, let me just turn it over here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 members of the 150-member legislature who scored 100. So, and I have to admit, you know, my scorecard was pretty hardcore. I mean, you had to be really free market to get 100 on my scorecard. And I might even have been tougher a little bit than the folks on the fiscal responsibility index are today. But I think you can compare them pretty much because we're both after the same thing. So I had six people on there and I'll just read them to you. You may not have heard of many of these things if you haven't been around quite so long, but Bill Calegari, Gary Elkins, Larry Taylor, who's still around. He's a Texas senator. Dan Gaddis, Glenn Hager, who's still around. He's our comptroller. Robert Talton, and that's the last. Then we had some about the same amount of number, maybe seven or eight, who had 90s. And then you start dropping down into the 80s. And once you start dropping down the 80s, you know, that's not what you call your real strong conservatives. So let's start with Larry Taylor. So this was 2005, and this is 16 years later. Larry Taylor is still in the Texas legislature. He spent some time in the House and has moved over to Texas Senate. Well, we'll just compare his score from 2005, which was 100, to his score on the latest fiscal responsibility index, which is 68. And that's typical of what Senator Taylor's score has been of late, right? I think it's a clear sign that 15, 16 years in government has kind of shifted Senator Taylor from his original high level of focus on free markets and liberty to a place where, well, he's just not so focused on that. And why that is the case, I couldn't tell you, but it seems to be the case, pretty level. So let's also look at Glenn Hager, Comptroller Hager. He was another one of those who scored 100 on the Economic Freedom Index that I put together. Well, the very next session, he was gone out of the House. He had picked up a seat in the Senate, and his score almost dropped in half when you look at it from the TFR index. He went to 54. And I think, again, that didn't take him too long. It's not like he was here for a long time, beat up by everything. But he moved from a fairly conservative House into a pretty liberal Texas Senate. Back in those days, the Senate was always scoring lower than the Texas House. And the pressures on somebody coming in there are really intense. And his score almost dropped in half from a solid 100 to 54, a massive fail 54. When Senator Hager last served in the Senate, his score was a 73, so still not very good before he moved on to the comptroller's office. Then we can look at folks like Sid Miller, right? Sid Miller was he didn't have a 100 back then. He had an 80. He's today our agriculture commissioner. And interestingly, by the time he left the House to go be agriculture commissioner, his score on the TFR index had moved up to 91. So he'd actually improved a little bit. Somebody else who is still around, who was on that scorecard, was Phil King, state representative. He is now has announced that he's seeking to run for the Texas Senate. When he first came in, when I first scored him on the 2005 Economic Freedom Scorecard, he was at a 70. So Phil King, right off the bat, wasn't what you'd call a solid conservative from a free market liberty perspective. You know, he's had his good points here and there, but he never was solid. He got up to 87, which was pretty good, but he's dropped down most recently to a 62. So if he gets in the Senate, he's not bringing a good track record with him from the perspective of liberty and free markets. John Smithy still around. From that time on the Economic Freedom Scorecard, he scored a 50. His most recent TFR score was 47. So again, John Smithy's done some good things up here, but clearly he's not an economic, free market, liberty-minded member. And he's stayed about the same. It hasn't changed. It hasn't gone up and down. He's right about at the same place. Right? Another interesting one, and this is really interesting, is Brian Hughes. So Brian Hughes, of course, is a Texas State Senator. He's chairman of the Senate State Affairs Committee and really thought of well in the conservative community, and rightly so. But it's very interesting. On my scorecard, he in 2005, he had a 40, right? Really, really low. But by 2011 or so, in the 2015 and 13 in the Texas House, he had gotten up to 93. His most recent scorecard in the Texas Senate is 92. So Brian Hughes is somebody who has grown more conservative in office from an economic and liberty-minded perspective, and we're grateful for that. James White wasn't around back then, but he's a member of the House who is leaving to go run for another office. When he first got into office, and this was back in 2009, I think it was, he had a 91. Today he's got a 62. And it's interesting because I think he's a member of the Texas Freedom Caucus, and we'll look a little bit more at them next week. But that's not exactly the kind of score you're looking for from somebody, you know, who's in a caucus champion for liberty. So that's kind of the folks who have started way back when, and then now we started on James White and some others who are leaving office. Let me do one more from the old days first. Ken Paxton. Ken Paxton on my scorecard back in 2005 was at a 90. By the time he left the Texas Senate to run for Attorney General, where he is today, he was at 97. So Paxton was not affected by his time in office. And, you know, 90 to 97, he's been strong all the way through on that and into his time as Attorney General. So let's just look at a few of these other folks now who have announced they're leaving office and see what's happened to them since they got here. John Frullo is one who's announced that he is leaving office. He typically has been associated with whoever the speaker is, the liberal moderate speakers, supporting them, part of the speaker's team, and that general range of folks. Never been thought of as much of a conservative. And in fact, his TFR index score would support that. When he first got here, back in, I think that was in 2009, he scored a 275. His most recent score, a 43. So he was never a stalwart conservative by any means, but he was somewhat passable. But today, he's just gone. And I think that, and we're going to talk about this some next week, is we're going to see this trend over and over again, that not only have these people individually fallen off the thing, but they have fallen over off collectively as the leadership of the legislature has gotten worse and worse. Chris Patty started back about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 terms ago, and he had a 56 on the TFR index. Today, he's at 33. So clearly, Patty never has been a conservative, never will be a conservative, and he's gone from bad to very, very bad down there in the Democratic ranks. And, you know, and that's a bad thing because, you know, Representative Patty was the chairman of the House State Affairs Committee, I believe, this time. And he was sort of the person who was overseeing a lot of the work when it came to the Texas freeze and the Texas electricity market. And his committee and the House have just kowtowed to big industry, making sure that they made huge profits and that the huge profits they made from the storm were protected. Dan Patrick in the Senate at least tried to do something about this, but they were stopped by Chris Patty and Dade Phelan in the Texas House. And billions and billions of dollars are flowing out of Texans' pockets into the pockets of huge corporations, natural gas suppliers, and generators to some extent because of Chris Patty and the people he's worked with. And so this 33 is a good example of that. Dan Huberty, who has been chairman of the involved in education and chairman of the House Education Committee, Public Education Committee for some time, went from 49 when he first joined the legislature to a 33 today, right? So from 2013 to 2021, his score again dropped off the table, and he's right there with Chris Patty. And just think about the effect it has that Republicans have put this guy who does not care about liberty, does not care about freedom or free markets, or put in charge of our education system. Right? No wonder things have gone so badly, and the only thing that we've seen increase or improve about public education during this time is the amount of money that they get. Jim Murphy is another person who came in first in 2013. There was a lot of good people who came in about that time, but some also not good people and from a liberty perspective. And I would say Jim Murphy is one of those. He came in at 51% on the TFR scorecard, and he's leaving with a 35. Again, not a good score. And again, that's a tough situation because Jim Murphy is the head of an economic development corporation down in Harris County in Houston. And basically, his job up here has been to get money for the people he works for, to get bills passed that benefit economic development corporations, his and others around here. And he's done a really good job with that. And you can tell from his scorecard that he's a lot more concerned about doing that than about liberty and freedom and the constituents who sent him up here. Lyle Larson hasn't had a whole lot of influence here, but he's always looks like he's been a pretty bad vote. He's gone from 39 to 31 back in 13 to 31 today. Never been any good. We can move over to the Senate a little bit. Kel Seliger started in the Texas Senate at 73. Okay, not great, but okay. But now he's a 57. And as a lot of people who follow this knows, he was a challenge to get around with the Texas Senate needing all the Republican votes to do things this session. Jay Nelson came into the Texas Senate a long time ago before the index ever got started, but you can go back to 2007 when it did get started and see she scored a 79. Interestingly enough, the next session she went up to 93, but she dropped back down to her to where about that same place, and then has been there or a little bit lower ever since. 66 this time. Although in 15 and 17, she had a 78 and 85, not great, but much better. But she, along with a lot of her Senate colleagues, have really struggled of late on that. We see Scott Sanford leaving. He was one of those guys who came in with that great conservative 13 class, 98 his first year, 94 his second term. And then, unfortunately, Scott Sanford, who's a really good person, is leaving on a 64. Right? Perhaps he's just been around too long. Matt Krause, who is announced for as a candidate for attorney general running against Paxton, started out again in that great class, had a 100 his first session, a 98 his second session. Again, he's walking out on the downside, 75%. Yeah, I could go on, and I think, well, one more I'll probably mention here. Tan Parker. So Tan Parker has been at times very influential in the Texas Republican caucus in the House. I think he was the chairman for a session or so on that. He started out back in 2007 with an 88, jumped all the way up to 97 in 2011, but this most recent session he was a 52. So we see this time and time again where people who come into the Texas legislature, they just get caught up in the system. And the system changes how they view the world, how they see their job. And they come in, some of these we see on here, staunch proponents of liberty. But by the time they leave, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years later, sometimes longer, they just can't stick with it anymore. The one person that I have seen stick with it for a long, long time was my former colleague at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, Talmadge Heflin. He left before we got the scorecards, but I knew him as a member back then. I knew him as a colleague at TPPF, and the man had a great heart, and he had a heart for liberty and still has a heart for liberty this day. He wasn't corrupted by the system, but it's so rare. And so I would just close today by talking about the need for term limits. Term limits, you know, we had this debate about them for a long, long time. And I agree with most of the arguments for people who propose term limits because they would kind of help be another check and balance to help limit the corruption that we see in government and we get a better outcome of government. But even more so, I would argue for term limits because it helps stop the corruption in individual people. They come to Austin, they come to Washington, D.C., they go to the city hall, whatever town you're in, and they see the problems, they want to approach it, they want to help people, they want to move us towards liberty, and then they get caught up in the system. The power comes in and does what power does to everybody, corrupts them, and by the time they leave, they can't even see how different their vision is from the time they got here. And that can't be good for anybody. So I just encourage folks to be thinking about ways to limit government, particularly term limits, I think would be a good idea. Of course, the really most important way for all of us to limit government is just defund it. Now, I'm not talking about defunding the police. I'm talking about defunding government. You know, who knows? You know, there was a time in this country where government spent, you know, 10% on a per capita basis of what it does today. Should it be down that low today? Who knows? But the problem is that as long as we have big government, we're going to have big government corruption, and we need to work to eliminate that. All right. Well, thank you very much for being with us today on episode 57 of the Liberty Cafe, and thanks once again to our sponsors, Texas Scorecard.
Thank you for listening to the Liberty Cafe by Texas Scorecard. You can find more shows and great content at texasscorecard.com. Please consider leaving a review or rating the show on whatever podcasting platform you listen on.